Okay. So, I was not here last week. I have only a slight idea what happened. But the reason I wasn't here is I was in Colorado. And they, we have an alliance of churches, and all the pastors got together, and we brought some people with us that were not pastors, but did do ministry, and we all went up to basically a little room at 8,800 feet. We wanted to be closer to God, and that's got a little higher. And then, and it was an encouraging time, and part of what was encouraging to me is there were about 70, 80 guys there, something like that, and it was just loud. Those guys sang loud, and I'd sing as loud as I could, and I'd just get drowned out, and they were so excited to sing with their whole hearts to God. And it wasn't a room where the high ceiling, so the sound got lost. It just was overwhelming. And I just had this thought, like, I don't know if we are the greatest guys in the world. But we do love to sing and worship loudly to our Savior. And it was sweet. And it was really good to be there. And it was an honor to be there, and we just renewed ourselves in what our understandings of what God wants us to do and what the Bible says and what is really core to us. And we came back renewed in our vision and hopefully our passion. And so that's why I wasn't here. I got a chance to do that. That was super, a super blessing. So, so let's see, what should we do first? You guys should get Bibles first. So if you want a Bible, we're going to read just a few verses, but I want you to look at it. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. Kevin will get those for you. And then do I need to do anything with this? Are we good? Okay. Awesome. Well, while you're getting Bibles, I will just pray. Father, it is humbling to be yours. Lord, we just understand, Lord, you are so amazing and you have standards on our lives, and you say this is the way, walk in it, and we struggle so much. Even some of the basic things, and yet your mercy and your forgiveness is like an ocean. Could never drink it up. Our grace, your grace, God, just like the tide comes to us. Lord, we praise you for those things. And Father, we tell you together, we love you. And we want you. I think of the song, we want to touch you. We want to see your face. We want to experience you. Whatever you dreamed would be the fullness of human experience. Lord, we want to walk into that. Father, we have given too much time, Lord, to ourselves, to the devil's deceptions. Lord, we want to take another step in faith and another step up the staircase and another step up the staircase in faith to experience what you have for us. And so, Lord, we are here for that. We are here for you. God, we're not here, as Mike said, because it's Sunday. Lord, we're here to be in front of you. And Lord, we grant us that faith that we could hear and experience you. It is so ordinary, so mundane, and yet you in your divinity can breathe on it and fill it and make it divine. And so, Lord, we ask your grace on this morning, and we thank you. Thank you for the chance to be here. Thank you that you got us here in all our mess and all our sin. You got us here. And thank you for the chance to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, 2 weeks ago, we were in Matthew chapter 4. We are taking a break from Matthew chapter 4. And of course, we were in Matthew chapter 4 because we were taking a break from later in Matthew. That's what it's like when you have to follow me around the scripture. So we are in John chapter 1. Now, the reason we're in John chapter 1 is 2 weeks ago, we talked about the word in Matthew chapter 4, and we talked about how the tempter came to Jesus, and Jesus used the word to repel temptation from the evil one, and how we need to use the word in the same way. And I laid out that this year what we want to do as a family of believers is to be in the word more, that we would all be in the word maybe more than we ever have it, or I would say as is possible. I was thinking, I was like, I've got some friends over here and some brothers, and they used to take basically Saturday and study the word, or take Saturday morning and study the word. And they don't do that now, well, because there's children and house projects, and life is full of lots of things. So maybe not that we'd be in the word more than we ever have for some of us, but we would be in the word as much as the Lord calls us to, given our situation. And so we would push toward that, we would increase toward that. So we decided we would read a book of the Bible together every month. And the book of the Bible for November is the book of John. Was that Sean? Thank you, Sean. And so whether you read the Bible a lot, whether you study it, whether you memorize it or just touch it a little bit, however you interact with it, and however much you can do, we're all do this book together so we can share our thoughts, and we can be doing something together to encourage each other toward the word. So, that was 2 weeks ago. So now I want to speak basically on, in one sense, how to read a little bit. I want to speak a little bit about the word. And so I can't talk about the word without starting in John chapter 1. And so let's read starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness
has not overcome it. Now jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is presenting the Word made flesh. So the Bible is the self-revelation of God Himself. And our goal in reading the Bible is to encounter Jesus, to encounter God, the person. See, because it's important to understand what the Bible teaches, but even better is to come to a bigger, better, brighter understanding of the true and living God. We grow in reading the Bible not to know more about God, but to know God as we read. Now, we need to love God with our minds. We need to read the Bible with our minds. And we have to take in the information. But what I want to talk about, at least this morning, is reading the Bible with our hearts. And I think this is a mistake that many people make when they enter into reading the Bible. They don't read the Bible with their heart. So, Psalm 119 is this really long psalm. And it's all about David's wholehearted love and desire for God. And if you read it with an engaged mind, with actually of the different things in the Bible, it's one of the psalms that's, at least for me, harder to read with an engaged mind because some of the themes just kind of repeat. But if you read it with an engaged mind, you understand why David engaged his heart. He engaged his heart in what he was reading. He engaged his heart in desperation. He engaged his heart relentlessly. Let me give you a few tastes of Psalm 19. We cannot read the whole psalm. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. And you understand from being in this church, the heart is really important to God. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Caitlin, you might have to be my helper. Next one, the give me understanding. One more. Thank you. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. So, just stop there for a minute. So he started with his mind. He wanted understanding. And you get understanding in your mind. And then, it engaged his heart. And he engaged his heart. Okay, next verse. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So when you're talking about delighting, delight in a person, delight is language of the heart. So David is saying that the testimonies that are in the scripture, the testimonies of what God has done, the testimonies of who God is, they have become his delight. From his mind to his heart in delight. And those speak to him. Those truths about God become his counselors. Next verse. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So he takes in a truth and he meditates and he engages his heart to love the things he sees. And let's see, is that all of those? Yeah. So when we read all of Psalm 119, what we see is the word of God is for the heart of man. The word of God is for the heart. It's for the inside in your heart. Now, we also realize that the way to get there is to start with understanding in your head. It's to start with your mind. That's the way to get to your heart. But that a word of God is for your heart. See, God wants your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, says Jesus. See, when we engage with the scripture, which is the word of God, God isn't just to say, oh, I want you to engage with this idea. I want you to ponder this thought. No, there's a person to be loved. There's a treasure hidden in a field, and we find the treasure and treasure it. God's way to our affections, our love, is through the mind. So when we read the Bible with our hearts engaged, because God's word is primarily for our hearts. Now, we walk into some deceptions when it comes to reading the Bible. And the first deception I just want to briefly speak about here is Christians stress, you should read your Bible, you should read your Bible, you should read your Bible. And when we do that, we can fall into something really subtle. And the understanding goes something like this. If we read the Bible regularly, God will be pleased with us, and therefore we can expect his blessing. Now, what's deceptive about that? If we read the Bible regularly, God will be pleased with us, and therefore we can expect his blessing. But it is as if the act of reading, rather than the purpose of reading, brings blessing or brings God's favor. It's not the act of reading. It's the purpose of reading. So it's a good deception because it's really close to the truth. But it is not the truth. Regular disciplined reading of the Bible is a means to great blessing from God, not because performing the act brings favor. That would be like the Muslims. There's five pillars, right? And we walk in the outward acts, the outward practices to merit Allah's favor. But not the purpose. You know, this outward act, it's kind of the outward versus the inward. The outward act is one of the problems that was in the culture that Jesus walked into, the Jewish culture he walked into. There's a couple of verses here. How the Matthew verse, Caitlin, thank you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, says Jesus, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tomb, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And then the next one. This is John 5. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have eternal life. When we read the word of God, we need to come to a person. And we're reading the Bible with a person. Not just a scripture. Not just an idea. person. God isn't an idea to be pondered. He's a person to be loved. See, God is not interested in our Bible reading as some sort of ritual to perform. It's not a proof of our piety. He wants us to read the Bible so that we will see Him. God wants us to see His glory, to see it again and again. The Bible is where the most important glories of God shine forth. Because the Bible is what speaks of Jesus. The image of the invisible God, through whom, as we read, come grace and truth. It's Jesus. And in the Bible, there is greatness and there is beauty. And as we understand what the book is saying that we're reading, as we understand what the whole Bible is saying, as we understand what a passage is saying or a verse is saying, we lean in with our heart. I'm going to stop there. So, have you ever, different scenarios. You know, sometimes it can be real relational. You can be with a spouse or a child or a friend, and all of a sudden you step back and you go, wow, isn't this sweetness? My friend and I are driving down the road and we're singing, and this is connection, and this is sweetness, and this is good, and you step back and you're just in wonder of it. Or I had this picture of my children, and they're young and they're playing on the floor, and I'm just sitting in a chair watching them play, and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I'm in wonder, and I'm in awe, and I am thankful, and I see a glory in it. But some of us kind of read the Bible like we're going to see somebody's house. Somebody says, hey, I bought a house. And come see it. And you're like, okay, I see it. And we get in our car and we drive over and we drive by the front and we stop and we look at the house and they go, and they're standing in the driveway and they say, hey, come on in. And we're like, no, we're just going to look at the front of it. No, I want you to come in and see all of it. And it's just like, no, I've seen enough. That's all I want. Got stuff to do. Off you drive. Somebody comes and they, hey, I want you to show you my new car. And so you go in and you go, wow, smells really good. The leather looks really awesome. And I was like, you open the hood and you're like, and I was like, wow, I'm counting the cylinders. And then they're like, hey, do you want to go for a ride? And you're like, no. Well, you can drive if you want. Go ahead and drive. And you're like, no. That's not what I want. Sometimes it's like that with nature. We're running through life, running. And then all of a sudden we just stop and we go, wow. Those flowers are amazing. That tree turned orange is just glorious. And we stop and we go deeper. And we lay down under the tree and we look up into its branches. And that is part of engaging your heart in Bible reading, that we stop and we chew and we savor and we wonder at God, at the truths of God, in how God treats people. And we taste. Remember a couple weeks ago, right? We're supposed to long for pure spiritual milk, and that milk has a taste. The solid food for the mature has a taste. We connect our heart, and we love God, and we delight in God, and we enjoy God and His ways and His being. And we don't just swallow our food. We chew it. And we enjoy it. Check out this verse in Thessalonians. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. What is his will for you? That our hearts would marvel at him. And what happens is when he comes back and we have new bodies, all the darkness and all the ways we don't quite see him, so we don't quite marvel, all that's taken away so that we would fully marvel. And when we're in front of the scriptures, we're taking a journey to marveling. Let's go to the next verse. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. When we get up in the morning and we think, what does God want for us? What he's seeking is worshipers. Worshipers. We connect our hearts to truth. And then our hearts get warmed by that truth. And we love those. We love God. And we marvel at the things of God and who he is. And we worship. That's what the Father seeks. Like you go, how do I follow God today? You don't have to do some crazy awesome thing. The Father is seeking worshipers. And that's what he wants from us. I like this quote by George Mueller, and I've mentioned it before, but George Mueller was a man who, through prayer, provided for a number of orphans in his city. And he said this: I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. So he kind of goes on, and he says, I don't rise from my knees. He had his time with the Lord on his knees, until my sight becomes savoring. But basically what he's saying is, until my heart is warmed, until I'm happy, until I'm really chewing on Jesus, that's when I stop reading. And if I haven't got there, I stay there. Some of us don't have that luxury. But we need to engage our heart. And that fits my experience. To pray and to praise and to read and to meditate until my heart is warmed. That's usually how I say it. I feel warm. Until I rejoice in God. What is the real... I think there's a real danger. There's a real danger in to read God's word but not having our hearts stirred by what we read. Because a changed heart is the key to a changed life. A warmed heart is the key to a life that is loving and worshiping God in a changed way. We need to engage our heart until we're convicted or encouraged or strengthened or faith emboldened. Or corrected, or whatever the Lord has for us for the day. And so we read to know God better. We read to see the wonders of him. There are unsearchable riches in Christ. That's what Paul says. There's unsearchable riches in the Word became flesh. And this is what's crazy. The act of picking up a book and reading it, is there anything more normal, mundane, natural? For some of us, boring. Like, that's kind of an interesting thought. But we connect this act to faith and with a belief of what this book is, and it changes. It changes to a feast. It changes to unsearchable riches. We read for lots of reasons. We read for our hearts to be changed. We read to follow His will. But we will read. What does the word say about itself? Can you hit the next verse, please? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. This book says it's sweet. If we believe this book is from God, God is saying this book is sweet. I don't know what you pray before you read the Bible. There are probably lots of great things to pray. You can pray this: God, show me the sweetness. It says that it should be desired more than gold. Gold is useful, very much useful. Money's useful. You probably feel that. This book says it's pretty useful. It should be desired. There's benefits. Here's another verse. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is how this connects. When we're in front of the Word, and we see the marvelousness, we see the wonders, we rejoice in the truths, we connect with God, what we're seeing is God's glory. God's glory is just everything that makes Him awesome. So we see everything that makes Him awesome, and we see it over and over. We're transformed. We're transformed from one degree of glory to the next, and we don't know it. But it is our heart being transformed, and then us just living how we would normally live, which is out of our heart. So, here's your application. Your application is, read the word with your heart. That's pretty simple. I'm going to give you one more application, though. It's even more practical than that one. So we have, we do a bunch of communication around here on Slack, and we have on Slack a Thoughts from the Word channel. I guess this is the phrasing. When your heart is warmed with the truth, with a verse, with something that you wonder, with whatever you take from the day from the Lord, share it with us. Put it on the Thoughts from the Word so that we, as we share our faith and our encouragement in one another, it'll build each other up. It'll build us up into all Christ has because we're sharing. Now, we should share that with our mouths, and we see each other throughout the week, but we live in the world of electronic communication and social media, and every tool can be used for Jesus. Satan uses it enough to distract us. Let's use it for encouragement. And so that's the second practical. Find someone who's good with tech. If you have no idea what I said, or just call somebody up and share a verse with them. Do it however you want, but let's encourage each other with the things that we get encouraged with in front of God. This book has kind of been integral. It's integral to the faith. Even if Jesus came, it would never be, it wouldn't be recorded without this book. It wouldn't be preserved. There'd be no salvation that got to us without the Bible. No new birth. No faith. No forgiveness. No transformation. No family of God. No church. Except for this. This was the means of which so much good has walked into our life. This book is the Word of God. This book, in some mysterious way, is divine. And let's just endeavor to treat it that way and to walk in to reading the Word. And it is really fun for me to read it with you and to hear your thoughts. And I hope this whole endeavor this year will be an encouragement to us all. So let's pray. Lord, we end where we began. Lord, our desire is just you. You have put in our hearts a desire for the divine. You have put it in every human heart, but you have put it in, for sure, believers' hearts. And our heart says, seek your face. And your face, Lord, we will seek. Father, grant us grace not to just read like it's all just natural. And you would infuse the natural, just like is your plan, with something glorious. Take something that is, it doesn't look amazing, kind of like a God in human form. Doesn't look amazing like really weak saints that you chose because of their weakness. Lord, you love to use the normal, ordinary, weak, mundane, and you do that through this, through just reading your book. Lord, I thank you for giving us a book. I thank you that it's your book. Lord, and it has been used in this world, and you will continue to use it to change men and women and communities and children and to grant life to this world. So those are our desires. This is what we ask. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.